This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, the station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 28th of October, 2024. You are on the clock with Erin Green, and I am begging for Halloween candies. Now, to be honest, the mature thing to do was, if you had felt in your heart that you were willing to give a donation of Halloween candy to Erin Green, you really should first stop at a children's home, a residential care facility for children and young people, and give them the candy first. And if you have any left over, then you could come hail me with some candy. Like, I really, really want candy, but I don't know how well my stomach will feel if I eaten candy. And I know there's a whole bunch of young people and children in the country who want to be a part of what everybody else is doing, but can't because of circumstances beyond their control. So if you find it in your heart, please buy a bag of Halloween candy, donate it to one of the residential care facilities. If you're really, really feeling it in your heart and in your wallet, you could do something really simple, right? Like, you could say, hey, child care center, I'm willing to donate the money for you to be able to rent a projector for the weekend and have a special event for the kids. A projector, a wall, a couple of cool movies, some snacks, and Halloween candy makes a wonderful time. So please continue to think about it. Halloween is on. A quick housekeeping note to the telecommunications providers and to IRCA. There is a line hanging dangerously low on the sidewalk on Shirley Street, hanging from the pole on the intersection of Shirley Street and Hawkins Hill. On the southeast quadrant, the line is hanging in, oh, sorry, the pole is on the southwest quadrant. The line begins drooping as it crosses Hawkins Hill. And so it may present difficulties for large vehicles attempting to enter Hawkins Hill from Shirley Street or crossing over from Dowdswell Street. Please, please attend to it as quickly as possible, especially if those communications lines are in any way feeding Doctors Hospital, PMH, or any of the medical services being provided area. A sad note this morning. We note the headline, two killed in plane crash, but I also want to read this headline. I just want to find it. Former PS Antoinette Thompson, who sued government, dies. Antoinette Thompson, a former permanent secretary whose tenure culminated in a legal battle against the government in which she alleged severe procedural and ethical lapses, has died. Cabinet's office confirmed her passing in a statement on Friday. Throughout her career, Thompson served in several ministries, accumulating 43 years of public service. She was a permanent secretary in the former Ministry of Transport and Housing until she was placed on, quote, unrecorded leave, close quotes, in April 2023. Following her suspension, she filed a lawsuit against the government, asserting that she was the target of a deliberate campaign to prevent her from exposing irregularities within the ministry. In her legal claim, the two multi-million dollar maritime contracts were executed, quote, negligently, unlawfully, and maliciously, close quotes, in violation of public service protocols. She alleged that the contracts, one for $3.355 million awarded to DigiSoft Technologies to develop an online portal for private boat and yacht charter fees, and another for $3.57 million to Adolpha Maritime Group for maintaining navigational aids, were signed without her authorization or oversight. Although she, as permanent secretary, held the responsibility to approve such contracts, Thompson claimed they were executed by a junior official under Secretary Gaynell role without her knowledge. Thompson's complaint highlighted procedural issues, noting that DigiSoft's contract was signed by Ms. Role before all requisite documentation arrived at the ministry, thus bypassing standard protocol. Thompson further alleged that her inquiries to Ms. Role regarding the legitimacy were dismissed in exchange. An exchange that, according to her, was part of a broader campaign to sideline her authority. As her lawsuit proceeded, Thompson alleged that these questionable processes damaged her professional reputation and compromised the public's trust in government accountability. I hope that the estate has the resources to follow this process to its very end. For we all have the right to die with dignity and divinity, because we are all brought here with inherent divinity and dignity. It is a sad story, and we say condolences to the family and loved ones of former PS Antoinette Thompson. Now, here's some stories I have on deck for today. CPSA may withdraw services. That is the Consultant Physician Staff Association. CPSA may withdraw services if no resolution over labor practices with PHA. Very interesting story. We also have in today's Guardian, Commonwealth leaders agree for honest conversation over reparations. I don't know. That's a very interesting conversation. But when you go to page six, there's another headline on page six that says no monetary discussions on reparations. I don't see the two things don't align. Commonwealth leaders agree for honest conversation over reparations. But on the flip side, it says no monetary discussions on reparations. Yeah. We're going to get back to that. Another headline that really had me thinking. Oh, a text came in. a texter said, listen, if you're trying to buy candies for kids, it says there's a store on Wolf and Mackey that has bags with over 300 dum-dums for less than $35. That's like less. That's like almost 10 cents each. Best buy I've found in town so far. Thank you for sharing the good news, texter. Thank you for sharing the good news. The numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and 242-300-5720, toll-free for family, island, residents. The text line is always 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. So here are the two main headlines I was looking at this morning, well, for this morning's discussion. Ambulances and emergency vehicles on one side. And then I saw this headline in today's paper, AMMC preparing to receive Lucayan remains from a Michigan museum. Now, this is a fascinating story because the first thing I want to ask is, where y'all going to keep it? And then the second thing I thought was, we could keep it in the fort. Fort fortified. We could keep it in the fort. In a first for the Bahamas, the Antiquities, Monuments, and Museums Corporation is preparing to receive the human remains of Lucayans, which have been housed in a Michigan museum for nearly 100 years. This repatriation will be the first instance of the country retrieving human remains or other cultural materials taken from its borders. Dr. Grace Turner, senior archaeologist. And we turn into page 5. AMMC said the remains consisting of a skull and long bones from at least 3 people were taken from a cave on San Salvador, formerly known as Watling's Island, in the 1920s. They have been kept in a Michigan State University collection for several decades. Quote, for a place like the Bahamas that was a British colony in the past, it was common for archaeologists to take materials out of the country without permission, close quotes, Dr. Turner said. The repatriation has been made possible through the Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act, a U.S. law passed in the 80s that mandates the return of Native American human remains to their rightful descendants. This legislation opened the door for the return of the Lucayan remains, emphasizing the shared history of colonized people in reclaiming cultural heritage. The AMMC has scheduled an official welcoming ceremony for October 29th, that's tomorrow, at Rawson Square, where the remains will be formally presented. Dr. Turner shared that a representative from Michigan State University will hand over the remains during an event featuring a full military parade conducted by the Royal Bahamas Defense Force. The ceremony will coincide with the AMMC's 25th anniversary celebrations, marking a dual milestone for the organization. I'm very interested in finding out we will be preserved. What's the protocol for preservation and public access? How will the remains be treated? I note that there will be a full military parade conducted by the Royal Bahamas Defense Force, but I'm asking myself, are we putting the cart before the horse? Are we ready to receive these artifacts, these relics, these treasures? And here's what I mean. Do we have a space that is governed by legislation, policy, and regulations for the storage, for the preservation, storage, and display of relics and artifacts of this nature? Do we have a white paper outlining the government's acknowledgement of its need to commit continuous funding to ensure that the premises and the environment therein for the storage and preservation of said artifacts can be maintained, right? That you have a place to put them. You have a protocol already in place to protect them. Secondly, these are not things to build a tourism product around primarily. These should be preserved for the purpose of educating us and others in the Caribbean primarily. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. I don't know what happened. We heard you for 3 seconds. The numbers to call, 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259. Again, 242-300-5720 is toll free for family island residents. Ms. Green, now why? Just why are you going to apply logic and common sense to the government's plans, especially this one? Well, this is very important. See, sometimes we don't see the thing that is there for us to see. Like, we're looking for it somewhere else. So we don't see it where it actually is. And I think this is a great example of a thing that the government is tasked to do. It is inherent. It is an inherent part of the role of governance. Leaders have to create systems and structures, protocols and cultures that understand the absolute urgency of preserving the past, providing for the present, preparing for the future, and the need to balance all three of those things. As we talk about things like Freedom of Information Act, right? The ombudsman, the data commissioner, then we begin to see in like real time the importance of preservation of the past, that documents and documentation and procedures and records from the past are vitally important for the present and shape the way we shape the future, pun intended. I think it's absolutely reckless. It is absolutely reckless to receive artifacts of this nature without being able to tell us, like in the article, exactly how these items will be preserved and maintained. See, the part of the argument, and this also goes to our conversation about reparations, right? Because, yes, we have a right to our artifacts, the things that belong here, that you found here and took from here. We have a right to have them back. Now you give it to us back and say, oh, there you go, keep it in your clapboard house. Keep it in your institutions powered by perhaps one of the most inconsistent and dysfunctional power companies in the whole region. And so a process of reparations is not just giving us back the artifacts, but accompanying the artifacts are the resources required to build the same mechanisms that you use to store said and same artifacts. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Hi, morning, Aaron.
Morning.
Morning, hi. My siblings live on the main road of Homestead Rock in Grand Bahama.
Okay.
Jonquil Jones immediately lived behind on the back road.
Uh-huh.
She was born and school and grew up in Jonestown. Sorry, in Homestead Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of them had a meeting last week.
Okay.
And they believe that the best way that the government
can
award Jonquil Jones is to name that new school, that new primary school in Homestead Rock, after Jonquil Jones. You know, in the past, government normally named the schools after mostly educators.
Yes.
But they believe that the best way the government could award Jonquil Jones is to name that new school right after her. That's the best honor. Because she already has a home. So it don't cost her cost the government no money. You know, Jonquil Jones and Moshe had Jonquil music all the way in the big city in New York.
I heard that. I heard a little piece of that. I was wondering what was happening.
Sorry?
I saw a snippet and I heard that. I wondered if somebody edited the video or if that was live out there.
That was live music that a family took to New York for that parade.
What?
Live music.
Okay. I have to see.
Publicity.
Only because it's Jonquil, I used to tax them. But it's Jonquil. Okay, so there's a group of residents from Grand Bahama and affiliated and related to the community who said, hey, the best way to honor Jonquil is to name the new primary school in the Holmes's Rock area after her because her home is essentially across the road from it.
Yes, she's only 5 minutes away.
So listen.
Born in Holmes's Rock. Right? 5 minutes away from the school.
Are those individuals, are they willing to come on air and let's talk about it?
I think some of them are.
Because, I love that. We can juxtapose that to Robert Taylor's idea. Robert Taylor, he submitted that we should petition the NCAA and Atlantis to rename the Battle for Atlantis the Jonquil Jones Cup or to name this the trophy. We could rename the trophy the Jonquil Jones Cup.
Yes, but also the government needs to do something significant, too, because she is the best women's basketball player in the world.
Yeah.
At this time.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Something significant the government needs to do.
Thank you very much, and that indeed she is.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. We can talk more about that on Friday. A text here says, Miss Green, spiritually, that's a tremendous event for our country. May the God of Abraham help out people because of the absence of responsibility in our leadership. Reparations was included with our Emancipation Act. Teach it to our people, and we understand. Reparations was included within our Emancipation Act. You know what? I'll find that, and let's have a discussion about it. Thank you very much, Texter. And go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Ms. Green, how are you doing this morning?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm all right, Ms. Green. Those Lukayan, artifacts stuff got me feeling like the Arabs in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the Arabs in Egypt, they're not the ones who built that place, but they in charge of the people that who's their remains and stuff, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel as if, like, over here, I feel as if the Lukayan people, I could be wrong, but I feel as if the Lukayan Indians were more like the individuals from, you know, the Native Americans, the Colombians and the Mexicans and people like that, who we call the people in the general region. Because,
yes.
I mean, we smack dab in the middle of South America and North America, you know? So it would only be safe to assume that the individuals who used to populate these islands before the European came over here kind of look like them people in there. You know, I feel as if we need to try and give those people a chance. You know what I mean? Because like you say, we don't really have the facilities probably to store it. But then again, they ain't really our things. I mean, that's how I feel, you know. And I also felt too that, I mean, they're just artists. And when the lady was doing the lady from COB,
mm-hmm.
who's doing the, who wanted to do that DNA testing of the different people and thing around here, right?
Okay.
And she said they was going to store them up there. I'd like to see, you know what I mean, if they really have the facilities to store that, Ms. Green. And lastly, Ms. Green, when you were talking about the repatriation, I thought about something. I said, if we ever get that, one of the items that you should put down for repatriation is that that they fund every school, every child over here, every child in the Bahamas, that they get a chance to visit Africa before they finish school and let them people pay for it. You know, they kind of set up some type of thing where every child in the Bahamas gets a chance, but before the 12 years of education or whatever is finished, that they get a chance to visit Africa.
Mm-hmm.
On them. Let that be a part of the repatriation item. You know what I mean? If we ever get to that. Because if
now, reparations. Don't say repatriation. Because
oh, reparations. I said repatriation.
Yeah, you remember when we saw the new charter flight companies come out, all the new Western Air and Flamingo Air, all them new companies at the beginning? Anyway, I was on the island. I flew over on the island on one of the smaller companies. And the people tell us, oh, y'all may have to find your own way back to the capital. I just saying, don't call it repatriation and then tell us you can give us a free trip. I don't trust them and they free trip.
I don't think repatriation is a bad idea either, Ms. Green. As it was in the beginning, so should it be at the end. So if he was over there, we need to be over there again.
Yeah, man, but under my own control.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course. I mean, not force, but I mean, yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, then again, too, like, when I think about it, I mean, I don't think if I move to Africa and build over there, I have to worry about any hurricane coming and carrying all my things, you know what I mean?
Shh, it has happened. Listen.
Yeah, huh?
It has happened. I got to go. I got another caller on the line.
Have a good day.
Thank you very much. Caller? How you doing?
Hey, good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, cousin. You remember when your mommy and your daddy used to be going out and you ask where and they just smile and they say it could be a surprise. And then you may stop somewhere to get something to eat. And then the next thing you know, you buy your Grammy house spending the night because your parents going out to have fun?
Listen, Aaron, you just caused my heart rate going up and my pressure going 2 inches up.
That had happened to me. Talk about it. We can give you a free trip to Africa. I don't know if I trust that. How you doing?
No, I don't want a free trip to Africa. And the poverty, talking about sending the kids off, I ain't too much on that either.
No,
I think that would be on the parents to say so. I don't think that should be a part of your repatriation because then you're only reaching the younger generation. What happened to the rest of us?
Okay, I like that because I was about to say discrimination, but
yes,
I think it's a good idea, but not just limited to students. It should be an educational package, tourism package.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would like to see something like that done, but in the reparations talk,
mm-hmm.
but it should be across the board because I would like to go too. You understand? I don't have what it takes to take that trip.
Yeah.
So make it an educational trip. I don't want to just go and see. No, let me go and learn some stuff about the area that where they say, I think it's Ghana, where they say a lot of our DNA comes from.
Yeah.
So I would like that trip too. So I don't think it should be limited to kids.
I for that.
Yeah, but don't repatriate me. I kind of scared of new places.
I just saying, let it be my choice.
Yes, please.
Thank you. But I love both suggestions from the callers, all great ideas. I am not opposed to the repatriation of artifacts and relics at all. They're ours. The responsibility is in ensuring that we can preserve them for future Bahamians. It's not about, oh, it's ours, so we just have it. A lot of us have that attitude. I get money, and it's mine, and I have it. Don't care how I can preserve it. Don't care how business. But in this instance, it's all of ours. It's all our business. We have to tend to it. And so I'd like to hear in the coming days where the artifacts will be stored, how they will be stored, what's the protocol for it, what's the line item in the budget, right? The monies allocated to buy the equipment and build out the space in which they will be preserved. That's plenty of money. What else are we going to preserve in it? And where are we going to keep it? I just saying, Grand Bahama, see now when we talk about why Nassau is the capital, Grand Bahama get plenty, plenty hurricanes. Is that a risk that we can take? Now, before I transition to another story, I want to read this poem written by Mr. C.A. Newry. It is titled, Return of the... Surely, we cannot be like the colonizers and dig up, spread out, lay out, display out the remains of the ancestor. Surely we cannot leave out left bare his cracked skull, fractured femur, or even his small fragmented pelvis. If the remains of first ones are to be returned home to these shallow seas, it cannot continue to be gawked at, ogled over, diminished to become some human zoom. If the ancestor is to return home, to arrive home to these ancient shallow seas, we must greet him, welcome him, pay tribute to his sacrifice, and have a celebration worthy of a king. Thank you, Mr. Newry. It's an interesting conversation following that poem on Facebook on Mr. Newry's page. Producer, I want transition. Tell me, you want to take a break now? We're going to go to a break. When we come back from the break, new ambulances not fit for the job. We're talking ambulances and emergency vehicles. You guys, stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock, and we'll be right back.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
This November, the Nassau Guardian is celebrating 180 years. And we want to thank you, our loyal readers, for helping to make this one of the oldest newspapers in the region. We want you to be a part of our Vision Challenge giveaway promotion beginning October 28th through November 22nd. All you need to do is find the hidden Nassau Guardian 180 years logo printed every day in the Nassau Guardian newspaper, and you could win prize. Just purchase your daily Nassau Guardian newspaper every day beginning Monday, October 28th. Find the 180th Nassau Guardian logo, cut out the page, mark the spot, write your name and phone number on that clipping, drop off your entries at our offices on Carter Street in Oaksfield. And every Friday, November 1st, November 8th, November 15th, and November 22nd, one drawing will take place. It's that simple.
Unequal gender nationality law is a violation of human rights and a failure of the government to meet its obligations. In 2018, the CEDAW Committee told the Bahamas to set a clear time frame for constitutional reform, to integrate the principle of gender equality into all laws, and to amend the Bahamas Nationality Act 1973 for Bahamian women and men to transmit citizenship on an equal basis. Join Equality Bahamas in demanding action now. Visit tiny.cc/nationality for more.
Boy, why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, boy, just a hard day, boy.
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking. Serious, boy, this real serious, boy.
Boy, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave us, boy, one big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody's saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
Boy, ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crack Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with And Digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
No matter who I marry, no matter where my wife gives birth, our children will be Bahamian, like me.
If I marry a man who's not Bahamian, I have to give birth in the Bahamas, or my children won't even be Bahamian like I am.
That don't even make sense.
That's why we had the referendum in 2016.
But the people vote no.
The government can still do something about it with ordinary legislation. And it needs to develop an action plan and timeline to hold another referendum to deal with gender inequality in the Constitution.
Oh, we can make that happen.
Go to tiny.cc/nationality to support the campaign for equal nationality rights by Equality Bahamas.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor. Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Gumbay, Gumbay,
Good morning and welcome back. Caller, I see you on the line. Let me just read this live notice. This November, the Nassau Guardian is celebrating 180 years, and we want to thank you, our loyal readers, for helping to make this one of the oldest newspapers in the region. We want you to be a part of our Vision Challenge giveaway promotion beginning October 28th through November 22nd. All you need to do is find the hidden Nassau Guardian 180 years logo printed every day in the Nassau Guardian newspaper, and you could win prize money. Purchase your daily Nassau Guardian newspaper every day beginning Monday, October 28th. That's today. Find the hidden 180th Nassau Guardian. Cut out the page, mark the spot, write your name and phone number on that clipping. Drop off your entries at our offices on Carter Street in Oaksfield. And every Friday, November 1st, 8th, 15th, and 22nd, one drawing will take place to pick the lucky winner. It's that simple. The Nassau Guardian 180th Anniversary Vision Challenge giveaway has begun. Let's go. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Mrs. Green.
Morning, sir. How are you?
I am fine, but I'm a little confused.
Okay.
Could you clarify, please, on the receipt of these corpses, these bodies that are returned to us from our ancestors, where are we going to put them? Where are we going to bury them? And they ought to be buried according to our Christian principles. Could you please explain?
Ah, absolutely. So, sir, I thank you for those questions. Questions that should... It's unfortunate, right? And that's a part of my discussion is I think we put the cart before the horse. Have we had a conversation? Do we intend to create like a crypt, like a mausoleum where we bury them, but we bury them in a very well-fortified structure because we are low-lying land. We're right at sea level. Some areas are slightly below sea level. So are we going to create like a mausoleum or a crypt style, but to be buried underground according to Christian principles? Are we going to follow traditional indigenous burial practices? Right? Will we have a special ceremony? Are we going to invite our Kalalingo brothers and Garifuna brothers and sisters and other Innis brothers and sisters from the region? Are we going to invite them to help us consider what it is we will do? Are we going to invite them to participate in what it is we decide we're going to do on our own? I mean, it could be an absolutely wonderful, fulfilling, like it could be regionally, locally, an experience to bring people closer together, to understand ourselves better. We could begin to create new protocols for the preservation of artifacts if we handle it properly. So I want to say to the caller, thank you very much for your intervention. I'm going to start with this headline here from Friday, from the 25th of October, 24, new ambulances not fit for the job. Several National Emergency Medical Services employees have criticized recently acquired ambulances, saying their small size and inability to accommodate large patients and essential medical equipment make them unsuitable for responding to emergencies. However, Health and Wellness Minister Dr. Michael Darvel said the vehicles are still effective in emergencies. He said despite their smaller size, their advantages include maneuverability in tight spaces and quicker response times. 14 ambulances arrived from Spain last month to address critical shortage issues. Dr. Darvel said the ambulances bought from Spain for about $1.5 million were intended for the Family Islands as a part of an Inter-American Development Bank and Ministry of Health project. However, he said some remained in New Providence to address the shortage. He said the Public Hospitals Authority is in the process of procuring a new fleet of ambulances for New Providence, but could not say when they will arrive. Nonetheless, emergency medical tech Nibune anonymously fearing victimization said the new ambulances are problematic. So the first point I want to stick, a pin I want to stick in the point is, why are y'all fearing victimization? Why? Why are y'all fearing victimization? See, when I went to the hospital and I was trying to ask PHA staff some information and they were offended my desire for information, they turned their badges around so I couldn't see their names. That's what they did. They all who were at the desk turned their badges around so I couldn't see their names. Is that like this? Are you think they're afraid of victimization as well? Is that why they do that? I want to say good morning, Kirk. I hope you're having a great morning. So let's go to the first point. In the article, we continue reading. One, they reported instances where responders could not transport patients in the new vehicles and had to wait for another ambulance due to the patient's size or because certain trauma cases could not be limited equipment. See, we could deal with that one. That's easy fix. When we make the call, the dispatcher is supposed to say, what's the size of the patient? Don't lie. Don't play cute for Grammy's sake. Say Grammy is size Andrus plus Rumkey. Say it if you have to say it. It's very important to be clear, even though you are in a moment of panic. Perhaps you let somebody who is less has less proximity or to the person that is not well. It's important to be calm and not be frustrated with the dispatcher because they're trying to collect as much information as possible to make the right decision, like what size ambulance are we sending to this emergency? Okay, number two, they argued that these limitations make the ambulances unsuitable for patients and first responders, with one EMT calling them, quote, pure garbage, close quotes. See what I was saying about things get adopted into culture and political culture. You'll start calling things garbage in the House. Well, he wasn't in the House of Assembly. It shouldn't have gone in the House of Assembly. But somebody tabled something that shouldn't have been there. Hold on. The point is, y'all stop calling things garbage when you're talking about official things, man. Quote, if we have a patient that is 250 and higher in terms of pounds, that stretcher will not be conducive to put them on. I got a solution. Buy different stretchers and replace them. By the set that collapse into a small space and then be expanded. I just saying, maybe. That stretcher will not be conducive to them on, close quotes, the EMT said. Let's go to the phone line. Producer. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, everything blessed up. Boy, we can talk with them dolphins on Friday. It's so hot. But let's know where they call from.
Yes, sir.
But the stand the shift. The person even who ordered them should be fired.
No, no, stop. Stop. Just wanted to formally say, now me and you go row. Tell me why.
Because anyone can drive standard shift good. You can ride clutch.
And why not?
Them clutch. They could be in the mechanic shop changing clutch every 3-4 months.
Why they can't ride?
If you ain't a good standard shift driver like me, like when you drive in standard shift, it's like automatic. The patient on the back, you're trying to stabilize the patient heart, they yucking, when they shift and turn, yuck. They better use them emergency brakes, because if they don't stand the shift and the emergency brakes go together.
Now,
if you don't want emergency brakes, why they in the back there dealing with the patient, the ambulance rolling off and going down the hill, or going down the road?
It's so descriptive, I love it, but don't go yet, because you know how easy it is to learn how to drive stick shift? I learned how to drive stick shift in one night, in 4 hours. I learned how to drive stick shift, balance clutch on a hill, double clutch Makata started in a pinch, in an emergency. Y'all telling me that y'all gonna sit back and say, I refuse to learn how to stick shift and stick shift the vehicle, the people them gonna die?
No, well, some here like you learn fast and everything, but I see some women them rolling them big square set now. Man, they ain't gonna be in the no standard. This is the size I see them. And I see they ain't gonna be in the green in the school and no sign. Like I say, balancing on the hill and all that traffic. All this traffic around you.
I really
got to slow down to in between the roundabout and passing control.
Yucking
with the patient in the back and then. Man, are they small for you? They small.
But listen, okay, so small. Watch this.
They got all the patient, the nurse, and the family member, man.
The family member got to drive behind in a different vehicle. Right. That's fine. But the point is, are these people telling me, right, that they ain't learning how to drive no stick shift? If that's what it takes to drive the ambulance, they might as well get new ambulance?
Well, they in their 30s and 40s now and think they're going to drive back to driving school and learn how to drive planning shift. And people...
To save lives?
You got to use the radio. You got to use the mic. Where your car
would they spray them practicing?
You shift hold the wheel and be on the mic and everything.
Listen,
at the same time, huh?
Caller, what they...
And call in the hospital.
What they practicing the for? Hold on.
Get ready. We coming in now with a gunshot, a heart attack, Rick. Patient.
They got radio. They just got to touch the button.
The radio and stare and everything and all that. You can't do all that.
Caller, I see where the problem is. I just want you to know that I'm going to be respectful when I row you after I hang up the call, okay?
Okay, all right.
Yes, sir.
We can talk Friday with sports.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Okay. So, there's a couple things happening here, right? I got an article here that said that they received the ambulances in May. That's June, July, August, September, October. June, July, August, September, October. That's 5 months you all had to learn how to drive stick shift. Right? My thing is this. What do you mean? I thought that if you get your public service license, right, that you had to... What I meant was that in 2024, in a country that claims to be a part of the developed world, that public service license holders would be required to show proof of their capacity and ability to drive manual transmission. I thought that was just a given. Like, I don't understand. What are y'all doing with all the money? What are y'all talking about when y'all sit at the cabinet table? Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You there? I'm sorry, I lost you. Call, okay, here's a text. We've got to call us back, producer. It doesn't sound like the ambulance itself has space for large persons. They also spoke about not having space to maneuver inside the vehicle for normal procedures. It is not best for maneuvering, especially on these small streets. I've worked for more than 20 years in frontline healthcare. Okay, so watch this. Two things. They were intended for the family island. Y'all remember the fire in Bimini? I go into the phone and they're coming right back. Good morning, caller.
Aaron.
Morning.
You know, I agree with that call, you know. Ain't no way they supposed to buy no ambulance like that. They small, number one. Number two, we have to move traffic on this road for stick shift.
When
that was in style, we didn't have much traffic on the road.
Hold on. See, this is the thing right there. In fact, let me start again. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Morning, Aaron.
I'm glad you called me.
Yeah.
Now we can row. Emergency vehicles are not required to sit in traffic, except for the fact that Bahamians think that people who don't have helicopter to fly them to the hospital deserve to die. On my way to work this morning, we pulled off when we heard the emergency vehicle coming up behind us, right? There's five vehicles in front of us acted like who cares? They acted like who cares that an emergency vehicle is coming through. Ain't no reason for an ambulance to be stuck in traffic. Because if people were following the rules and the police were informed...
But Aaron, I hear you, but guess what? I drive and I see ambulance police car pass, and most of the people just pull on the side and I watch this them. Even if they coming in two lane, the people will pile the way and let them go through. I watch
but them. I can be honest but with you, they don't do it fast
in
enough.
This country, what we call standard shift, six shift, they should have never buy them. Plus, they small.
I rebuke that.
Yes,
I rebuking it.
Gone by. We had much traffic on the road like what we have now.
I don't understand it. But I love you, Uncle. Don't watch nothing.
I love you. No, you see, you could drive it. That's good. But in this kind of climate what we in now, no. I don't agree. No stick shift. Plus, they small too.
Thank you. Listen, they have to be small. Remember, the fire trucks can't get through the narrow lanes in the communities on the family island. You think the ambulance can get through the narrow lanes on the family islands? I am very, very concerned and afraid that people are sitting back and saying, I ain't gonna learn how to drive no stick shift. I'm not willing to lose weight to be able to work what it is we have in the interest of saving lives. See, if it was other things, I'd be okay, but we're talking about saving lives. One last caller. Good morning, caller.
Morning, Aaron.
Morning.
How you doing?
Good, good.
Yeah. Hey, Aaron.
Yes, sir.
Like you said, I agree. What they, the people know about it, those Alzheimer's design from combat. They, like you said, they got small corners. And stick shift, you could go on YouTube and learn it in one day. I have a 14-year-old daughter driving. You have ladies, some drivers, 60, 60 and stuff. So these people stop talking. You know, that's better than joining people in the back of the truck. So yeah. I appreciate, you know, you have something, I appreciate your job. They need the tank and door and stuff to clean it.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. And because in this instance, we're talking about saving lives. We. So your public service license, now you got to have proof that you could drive stick shift. Right? We've been talking about non-communicable diseases and obesity and morbid obesity for 30 years. My whole life, people have been telling me, Ms. Green, now Green, Bernie Green, don't get too big. Let's go to the caller dead quick. Look here, y'all got 30 seconds. Hello?
Yeah, good morning, Ms. Green. I just wanted to comment on what the text said about the stick shift. My car was a stick shift, an MG, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it isn't as easy as he says, you know, but because you can't, you could learn how to probably shift it, but to master it, it doesn't take one day because you have, even with ambulance and public transportation, you have to master the art of balancing on a hill.
Mm-hmm.
I used to work over the bridge at the age of 18, so I knew what it takes to do, to just balance on the bridge with traffic. So it requires some form of skill. It doesn't just you learn how to drive, but you will find out that you can't really drive when it's time to balance on a hill with load. So, I mean, it's not as simple as it sounds.
I know. I know it's not as simple as it sounds. But we got to do what we got to do. You see the people buying the ambulance? In fact, just as we go, that's it, no more callers. I just want to read these headlines out for you out loud. I can pick up again later in the week. The Ministry of Health and Wellness, Bahamas, 13th of September, 2024, where we talk about the procurement of 10 new ambulances with 5 more on the way. Mind you, the story we just read said 14. Emergency medical services getting a boost as 14 new amps for arrival. That's Bahamas local 10th of May, 24. Another article, U.S. delivers $255,000 in health equipment to the Bahamas, U.S. Embassy, 22nd November, 21. July 2020. Building its fleet, we got ambulances from Wheel Coach Rev Ambulance Group. 12 ambulances donated to the Bahamas after Hurricane Dorian, 30th of September 2019. Another article, Penn Care, We Care Program, ambulance donation to the Bahamas, 10th of September 2018. 2 new ambulances handed to public hospitals. This is December 2015. And then another article from 2019, ambulance fleet boosted with donation from Canadian company. It's all, I don't understand what's happening. Because if you can't use the small one, send the big one. Or do we have no big ones left? Anyway, what we don't have left is time. But Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next. So stay tuned and have a wonderful day, Bahamas.
Then the women, they start to sing louder.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.